Welcome to Pastor, a program dedicated to bringing the clergy of Northern California together. Join your host, Pastor Henry Wells, as he speaks to pastors of Northern California about issues in the church and personal insight from one pastor to another. Here's your host, Pastor Henry Wells.
Well, if you're expecting Pastor Henry Wells, I'm certainly not him. This is Ruth Bernard, the Director of Church Relations with KFIA, and Pastor Wells is away for a couple of weeks, and he will be back next week, so you can tune in then. I know I can't hold a candle to Pastor Wells and his interview style, but I'm here, and I've got a wonderful guest with me today, and I know you're going to enjoy the program. Our guest today is Pastor John Terrell with a Resurrection Life Church. And Pastor Terrell and I go back a long ways. I've been here in the radio business at KFIA since 1980, and Pastor Terrell had a radio program back in the early 80s. So I want you to prepare. Pastor's a very strong teacher. He's very knowledgeable, and I want to introduce Pastor John Terrell.
Thank you very much.
John, we go back a long way to 1980. I know that you had a program on our station, and it was a powerful program. And my husband and I, Bill, came to your church several times, and I learned a lot in your prophecy meetings. I know you're still teaching on prophecy because everybody wants to know, and it's a very, very important thing to be prepared. Talk to us a little bit about your teaching.
Well, for a number of years, I have been preaching on prophecy. It actually goes back to about 1971 when I got started. And it was very comfortable because we always thought, you know, the time of the Antichrist and the tribulation period, which would be way down, you know, would not be in my lifetime. And then the last few years, I began to realize that I might live to see the Antichrist come on the scene. And so what I have done in the church and also in our outreach programs is to prepare people that we are heading in for these times, and things are not going to be the way they have been. And of course, we had a rude awakening when our economy crashed and a lot of people out of work now and so on. There's going to be some changes, and we can actually feel the changes right now as the present president and his administration are trying to push their agenda, which is not a Christian agenda, but it's a socialist Marxist agenda.
Well, that's telling it straightforward, I'll tell you. Listen, John, you've been a pastor since 1971?
Actually, I started as an evangelist I went to seminary in 1969, and when I was in seminary, I was an evangelist for probably about 5-6 years, and I became a pastor in Lodi, California, 1975, and I was in Lodi for 2 years, and in 1977, we moved up to Sacramento, where I started the church, Christian Life Ministries, which was here in Carmichael.
I remember well. And then you've moved over, I won't say Natomas, I know it's out in a different location.
The church, Christian Life Ministries, I resigned from that church back in 1983. And then for 2 years I was a Bible teacher and evangelist again. And in 1985, God told me to start another church, which is Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And we had that first, we were up in Citrus Heights when we started that church.
Right, that's true. I know the audience can't help but notice that great accent of yours.
Well, I happened to be born in Sweden, and I came to this country with my wife in 1963. We came to Salt Lake City, and for a while there, I had an uncle that was a Mormon, and I was thinking of joining the Mormon church because I needed a job and I needed to make lots of money. I wasn't walking with Christ at that time. My wife was not born again, but she put a foot down. I said, absolutely not. And so because of that, we didn't do that. 2 years later, I was watching television, my wife, and we heard an evangelist, which at that time was Billy Graham. And when he gave the invitation, we had been listening to the radio first about 3 months. And then we gave our lives to Christ in our apartment. And she prayed and I prayed. And then God led me to a Southern Baptist church in Salt Lake City. And the folks that were from Georgia, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana. And when you learn a language, you pick up the dialect around. So this is where I got my mix.
It's charming. I love it. I can always tell who you are if I speak to you on the phone. It's great to be in contact with you again, John. I know that you've been married to Ina for many years, and she's dear and extremely valuable in your ministry. You are really a solid team, which makes you have even more power when you're with your congregation. I wanted to talk a little bit about your vision, John. You know, you're studied. Didn't you have a European evangelistic calling at one time?
Yes. When we came here to seminary in 1969, I felt the need to reach out to Swedish people, and we knew at that time there were 300,000 Swedish descendants, first or second generation, living in the Bay Area. And so we started an organization called Swedish American Evangelistic Crusades. And the Swedish people were not interested at all in the gospel. They had their lodges and where they would drink and dance and so on. And then God called me. We met a pastor in San Francisco. He was the head of the Siemens mission. And so he said, I can set up meetings for you in Sweden if you want to. So in 1971, my wife and I traveled to Sweden, and we had a number of meetings in Baptist churches. And then we went back again and again for about 10 years every summer. We then realized we were, once working in Germany, and we worked in other countries, that we wanted to change it from Swedish to European American Advanced Crusades. And later, we did not know that there was going to be a racist issue, because a lot of people says, well, are you white supremacist? And I said, absolutely not. It just happened. I didn't want to call ourselves a worldwide ministry, because I would be lying. I was only working in Europe and here. And so we just kept the name, and we just explained to people. Matter of fact, on our website, I have written a long article on the identity movement, where I expose the white supremacist and the racism, and I simply tell people that we are not there. And in our congregation, we got people of all kind of colors and different nations. So,
well, since you mentioned your website, and we're early on in our talk, would you give us your website?
Oh, you mean just the name of it?
Yes.
Okay, the address. The address is www.eaec.org. That stands for European American Evangelist Crusades.
And why don't we hear the address of your church location?
We are located, I'm back in Carmichael. This is where God told us to go when we were in Lodi, to go to Carmichael. 25 years after we came here, I'm back at 8341 Fair Oaks Boulevard. And that is on Fair Oaks Boulevard between Manzanita and San Juan, about midway through.
What are the times of your services?
Currently, we have only one service, and that is on Sunday morning at 10:30.
And, John, what's a typical service for you?
Well, we say here on our brochure, not everybody shops at Walmart. And
more people are, though.
So what we do, what I feel led to do is this, that first of all, we feel that worship is very important. We are not into contemporary worship, but we have a lot of noise, and you really can't hear the words. There's just a lot of noise. So we have, we still use the songs from the 1970s and 80s mixed in with some newer ones. We do a lot of hymns.
Wonderful.
And we feel this when we worship, it should be done in majesty. People should hear the words. So we have about 35 to 40 minutes worship. And then after we've taken the offering, I believe in testimony times. And it's a danger in the church. You get open up and say, anyone got a testimony? Sometimes we get some weird people coming up. But the congregation really likes it, and they can get up and share what happened during the week. And I encourage our people to be active, you know, to do things during the week, not just on Sundays. And after that, we have prayer time. And being now on a live webcast every Sunday, we have people calling, actually not calling us, but writing us from Europe, Canada, and everywhere in the United States. And we pray for these people. And then after we've done that, then I preach. And a short sermon for me is 45 minutes. And I usually run, so our service runs to about 1:15, 1:30 with the invitation. So when we have church, we have church.
And one time a week, that's very good. Do the children join you and the teenagers?
We have the children stay in when we have a worship service up to the testimony time, and then we have Sunday school for children. Teenagers, they usually stay in the service.
You mentioned that your church is active and not just on Sundays. Do you have certain mission fields that you are concentrating on?
Due to our webs being on the internet, and also because of our newsletters and literature, we have people calling us that have crashed. We work with people that have crashed marriages, people in drugs, alcohol, different situations, and I have built up a team and I have now written material. I have what we call a manual that I had taken about 30 years of my experience to write. It's done written. And so we take them through what we call a pre-deliverance session, where we help people out. Then we have a prayer time where we pray for people and so on. And then after, we have a follow-up program. So we usually, it takes about a year for somebody coming in. And what we want to do is we want to put them back in society and put them back where they can function, hold a job, have a good marriage, or if children, come back and be normal again.
And you have a good success rate with that, don't you, John? You're very thorough, and the Lord is really in your work.
We just like Teen Challenge, that a lot of people are not sincere, and Teen Challenge will not take them. They only take people that are absolutely sincere. And those that are sincere and stay with it, they are successful. God really changed their lives. Those that are simply, a lot of people are sick, and they want to get well so they can go back to their sinful lifestyle.
Yes.
And that doesn't work. But so we say this, the deliverance and seeking the Lord is a lifestyle change. And that's what we emphasize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much to learn and to grow and to be transformed in your ministry. I can witness to that. I wanted to talk about you being such a strong teacher. I know you have not just an opinion, but I know you have studied out the Bible when it comes to revelation and tribulation and the mark of the beast. You want to share that with us, John?
Yes. We have, in Revelation chapter 13, it talks about the Antichrist. But there's a very interesting thing in the Revelation chapter 13. And I want to read here just from 17 and down. And it says here in verse number 12, "But the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with a beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." For many years, I was a Hal Lindsey fan, and, you know, I thought about the rapture and the 7 years and so on. And I read this verse, and it said 10 kings, which means 10 political leaders, are going to They go to serve with the Antichrist for 1 hour. And then God showed me that the Apostle Peter said that 1,000 years with the Lord is like 1 day with us and 1 day like 1,000 years. And mathematically, I break that down. I came to the conclusion that 1 hour with God is 41.6 years with us in our time, which means that the Antichrist, the tribulation period, is going to last for almost 42 years. And that is bad news when we find that out. Now, the worst news is this, that there's no place in the Bible where it says that when the Antichrist comes, we are going to be raptured out. We will be taken out sometimes as God is beginning to judge the Antichrist system. But we're going to be in there for quite a haul. And so then what we need to look at is that we have the mark of the beast described in Revelation chapter 13. But in Revelation 14, we read this from verse number 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink out of wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name." Now, what I learned is this, that I believe that once a person is saved, you are saved. God holds us. But this is one time that if a person is saved but takes the mark of the beast, you will lose your salvation. You can never, never come back and say, "God, I didn't mean that. I was just pressured into this." Because it says here that if you take the mark of the beast or receive the mark of his name, you have made a decision. No one is going to be forced to take the mark of the beast. It's going to be voluntary, but you have to give an allegiance. And when you give the allegiance, you actually leave Christ and you take an allegiance to Satan. So it is important that we preach this now, because this is a message that is kind of lost and it is coming up. And when I started in the ministry back in, well, let's say 69, very few people had tattoos. And matter of fact, a tattoo was a mark of a low-lifer. These were people that, you know, were low-life people. And today, it is an epidemic. And I see young women are marking up their whole arms and backs and so on. And to me, the tattoo epidemic is a precursor to the mark of the beast, because people are simply getting used to marking themselves up. And when the mark of the beast comes, it would simply say, "Well, just like another tattoo, you know, no big deal."
Well, you know, with the computers and the fast tracks and of the computer age and the Blackberries and how technology has exploded. You know, I'm a busy woman working in a marketplace, and, you know, you're always looking for something smaller or something easier or something that you can't be stolen. And, you know, I think the microchip idea is probably within the next few years. And I think that there's already some exploration. They do it to our animals now. And you know about that.
Yeah, not only have they done it to the animals, but they're also doing it to babies today. They have started it about 15 years ago. And Florida, the state of Florida, was a forerunner. And they said that, you know, if you have a baby brand new born, if we insert the chip and we program that, you will never have a problem to switching a child or the child be lost. And if anyone takes the child, they cannot hide it because they have a chip. So that is already in process, has been for probably 10 years now. There's also a program with other people that say, you know, that I'd like to have a microchip in me so that I carry my identity. If I have a car accident or if I get Alzheimer's, whatever, they can find me. They know who I am. So the technology is there. The microchip is less than a grain of a rice grain, and it just slips under the skin. It cannot be read from satellites. This is a scare tactic that some people had. A microchip can be read only about 3 to 4 inches away. They have to have a scanner. But it's very efficient because when you go someplace, let's say you're going to fly, you're going to travel, whatever it is, they just scan you and that's it, you're done.
See, what we thought of about that was science fiction, you know, has just come upon us, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, John, you have very definite ideas about immunization and H1N1, and why don't you share those since we have a little time?
The vaccines that have been given out, I would say, the last 30 years have been very damaging because they have used mercury as a preservative. Thimerosal is the name of it, the medical name of it. I believe I have written quite a bit. We got things on our website. I got newsletters. I got the Dove magazine going back for years. We still have written on that. But what happened is this, that the autistic epidemic we have with children autistic is basically, as far as I'm concerned, the documentation I've seen is a vaccine issue. It is a mercury poisoning. I believe also the people having Alzheimer's goes back to vaccination, particularly people who've been in the military. They're taking a lot of vaccines. These people have their shakes, they have nerve problems, and so on. And vaccines are not safe. Now, I can go further and simply say, if you believe in the Antichrist system coming, if you believe that, it is an evil system. And they do want to kill people. And if you look back on dictators like we had Stalin, we have Hitler and so on, they killed a lot of people in order to get their agenda going. So if anyone listening, running a vaccine, I'm telling our people, pray hard, stand on Mark 16:16.
Good for you. Now, John, I'm going to wrap up a little bit. How I told the audience that you were strong, and I'm so glad that we had some time with you. Now, if a listener's out there and they're into drug abuse or adultery, alcoholism, they have anger issues, rebellion issues, criminal activity, and they are absolutely fed up with themselves, how could they get in touch with you, John, and get some help?
They can call us. We have a ministry number, and it's 1-888-708-3232. We used that number for 30 years. But if you can't remember that, my name is John Terrell. And all you need to do is to go to Google, put my name in, and our website comes up, plus about 3,000 entries of stuff that I've written.
John, spell that last name for us.
T-O-R-E-L-L.
Wonderful. And would you tell us again the location of your church?
Location of the church is at 8341 Fair Oaks Boulevard, Carmichael. And that is Fair Oaks Boulevard between Manzanita and San Juan.
And your service starts?
10:30 Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. Well, we've just hit the tip of the iceberg, and if you want to hear John and attend his church and get some real depth on the different things that are happening in the world and the different things that are happening with the Holy Spirit and in the revival, and this is the place to go. That's John Terrell with the name of your church again.
Resurrection Life of Jesus Church.
And your website?
www.eaec.org.
John, it's been a real pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. It's good to see you again.
Thank you, and may God bless you.
You too.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor to Pastor, a program dedicated to bringing pastors together, thereby strengthening and encouraging the body of Christ. Thank you for listening, and please join us again next week at the same time for Pastor to Pastor.